looking out at the devastation. I'm still here.
To that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He is Lord. He is above it all. And in Him we live, we move, we have our being. The children of God, this is how we exist while we're here on our time, in our time on earth. And, you know, because this world in its current form is a place where both the wheat and the tares grow together. And so you've got the children of God who are connected to Him, who are calling out to Him, who are His, who have responded to the call of the Spirit and are being led and guided by their Heavenly Father, led and guided by the Spirit of Truth, led and guided by Jesus Christ through and out of this essentially a prison for souls. We're being led out, and He is the gate. And so there's no other way to the Father but by Him, as Jesus said in John 14:6. So we're among those. And you also have simultaneously growing here on the earth the tares. And the tares are the weeds, the that which has gone the way of the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, that which has gone the way of ultimately the devil. Now, you know, I know people get upset about that, but that's the truth of the matter, and you need to know the truth of the matter so that you can make a right decision and a right judgment. But the prince of the power of the air, and what he has and what he offers, is he offers and he has the world system, which incidentally is starting to crumble at its very foundations and is passing away. But he's got that system, and he offers people things in that system in exchange for their that which is eternal within them, which is their soul. And those that have made that decision to go the way of the world and to never come out and to never respond to the call of Jesus Christ, because the many are the called, but the chosen are few, but He does call. And those that have chosen to reject it and go the way of the world, well, they grow in that system. And ultimately, both the wheat and the tares grow together at such a time as this. So that's what we're in the middle of while we're here on the earth, my brothers and my sisters. That's what we have to contend with. That's what we also have to be mindful of. And it's important to keep that reality in front of you, because if you don't, you can be damaged quite severely by the worlders, because they have to do those, they have to come after and fulfill things that are instructed to them within their within their hierarchy. See, the world is a big fat pyramid system where, you know, people are, once they get into that system, they're trying to work their way up, and they're standing on the shoulders and dumping on those that are below them. So they keep trying to climb to the top of that pyramid, and on the top of that pyramid is Lucifer laughing the whole time, hating humanity, hating God's creation. All he does is wants to twist that which is made in the image and the likeness of God, and he wants to twist it and turn it, because the devil can't get God. So what does he do next? Is he says, well, you know, I'm going to go after that which is created in God's image, and I'm going to take that which is created in God's image and either seduce or oppress or somehow get them into my system, and then I'm going to twist them and turn them and make them into anything other than what God has made, into something else. So that's what the enemy does. And he works like that. He pushes like that. That's his intention. That's everything that he does. So in that system, you will rise in that system of the world if you do the will of that system. So the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. God said that, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So the children of God, we're here experiencing the life that Christ Jesus offers. We're experiencing a journey going from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And we have been liberated out of that system. Now, it is still a journey. It is still a process. And there are still dangers along the way. There are still attacks along the way. And, you know, this is as the times get heightened, it's important to keep certain things and be mindful of certain things so that you can minimize the ways that the attacks of the enemy will affect you. Because, see, here's the thing. When you get knocked down, when we get knocked down, it takes some time to recover. When we, you know, now sometimes God sends us into some full-on battles with the enemy. And this happened in the spiritual level, because our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we fight in the spiritual realm, and God works through us to do that. In that, there's also natural manifestations of that, which we have to, as God would have us in those situations, at His timing, we have to engage. Now, in all of these things, there's both a requirement for things in the realm of the Spirit and for you to move in things in the realm of the Spirit, which are yours, a child of God. And there's also a need to engage with natural principles as well. And natural principles will be the things that's where you get wisdom. That's where you get knowledge. That's where you get understanding. And that's where, say, something like the book of Proverbs is extremely helpful. The book of Ecclesiastes too, actually. You know, those are great examples of understandings of just how to navigate through a lot of things that are going on around you, and how to walk through a lot of stuff, and how to be effective, and how to not get maligned or sidelined or caught up in foolishness. You know, there's the world sometimes just wants to neutralize you, just wants to fritter away your time, just wants to get you involved and engaged in things that have no significance, no meaning, no purpose, nothing, to get you away from the reason for which God has put you on the earth. See, we came here for a reason. You and I, we're here on the earth for a purpose and for a reason and for a season and a window of time. And as eternal beings, we're here and then we're not. So we're here, but then once we go on from here, we go on into something else eternal. Now the world wants to harness and harvest your soul so that it can keep that power and use it to power their dead, dying system. But if you get out, now they're done because they have no power source. See, they're like branches that have been cut off, as John 15 talks about. There's no life in them because they've been cut off from the vine. So what they must do now is find some other source. And if they can't find any other source for which to power themselves, then they just completely die. And there's nothing left but for them to be burned. So, for you, the child of God, to remove your consent and to walk out with Christ is one of the most damaging things that you can do to the world. Because the world now can't siphon off of your spirit, your life, that which is in you. And that which is in you is being given over to the powers of God for what He wants to do. So, you know, that it's a twofold whammy on them. On one level, they can't use you, and on another level, for this reason, the Son of God was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. So the Spirit of God is using you to destroy the works of the devil. So you're not just being, they can't just now they cannot, can no longer use your skills, talents, abilities, and spiritual power to build their system. But they're turning around and you're also being used by the Spirit of the living God to destroy their system and to tear it up. So now, as that's happening, you can expect blowback. You can expect attacks from the enemy. You know, I've had a number of them in this recent window. I think we've been a little bit more public and overt in this last round of spiritual warfare prayers and things even relating to the recent elections that have been going on in the U.S. And if you want to catch up on a little bit of that stuff, you can always go over to Our buddy Zeph's Paige, brother in Christ, wonderful man of God, and Trish, his amazing wife. Those two are just great, dear friends. Love the Lord, and yeah, but we've been praying, and we've been praying overtly about certain things, and then also just connecting whenever we can with brothers and sisters on some of this stuff, because there's a very real warfare going on. Now, when you encounter and when you pray and when you engage like that, there's going to be things that the enemy is going to try to send your way. And the enemy is going to do that because you're in a war. I mean, this is not a video game, all right? You know, it's a full-on battle. And in this war, just know that the enemy doesn't play fair. It's not like the enemy's saying, oh, okay, you know, well, you know, that wouldn't be nice if we do that. No, listen, if the enemy could, they would just wipe the floor with you right away. So here's the thing. You and I, we need to be mindful. And there's a few things that are going to always be, well, there's a lot of things actually, but there's a few principles that will help you in navigating through. For one of them is going to be just understanding that you're not just a passive bystander. In fact, if you try to sit on the fence, you're going to get picked off. If you try to sit on the fence, the enemy is just going to gradually and consistently just chew you up. And it's much, 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 much better for it's much better for you to go forward in the things of God and be in the fight than to try to sit on the sidelines, because if you sit on the sidelines, you're unengaged, you're not moving in the power of God. It's like you're not using it's like you're atrophying. So if you don't use a muscle, it will just lose its strength. And then the problem is when you do reach the time that you need to use that muscle, it doesn't work, or you pull it, or it's not available and able for the time and for the call that's at hand. If you get into an emergency or situation, or you just purely want to do something, you're just not ready. And there's so many of the people that are out there that are just not ready. So if you wonder if you're ready, well, listen, there's no time like the present. All right? Get on God's page. Move with the things of God. Move with the Spirit. Because we need you in this fight. We need you. We need you to be engaged and to be on these front lines in the realm of the Spirit. Because, listen, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. All right? It's not a one-to-one. Okay? When the children of God get together, and when we move forward in the things of God connected to the realm, in the realm of the Spirit with the power, there it is an exponential increase in the ability to destroy and tear down and dislocate the powers of the enemy. And this is why the enemy works so hard, to isolate you, to get you in self-doubt, self-pity, just to compromise you, to have you off maligned somewhere on the side all by yourself, because he doesn't want you to know who you are, to move in the things of God, and to in any way, shape, or form be linked up with what the body of Christ, the true body of the living God, that which is happening in the realm of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to move in any of that. Okay, Ephesians chapter 10. Finally, my brethren. Oh, sorry, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay, so, yeah, listen, there's so much in here. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, we've done this very overtly recently. And now, in the process of that, there's going to be, we have tools, we have weapons, we have, you're not just sent into this battle empty, all right? You're not just sent into this battle without things to wage it with. You've been given incredible, powerful weapons of warfare in the realm of the Spirit that you can use and you should use, because that is, you know, one of the ways to ensure that you can move forward in some peace is to decimate the enemy. Listen, you can decimate the enemy and they don't want a mess. I mean, there is a principle there. You know, when the enemy of your soul is seeking to steal and to kill and to destroy, and when you respond, or when you go forward into that fight with the weapons of the warfare that Christ Jesus has given you, you can destroy those things. And here's the thing, those things that have been set up by the enemy, they are there to steal, to kill, and to destroy that which has life in it. See, you're destroying that which is killing and die and death and stealing and sucking the life out of people. So when you cut those things off, when you tear them down, they lose their ability and their power to do that. So now the enemy has a lot vested in this whole thing, because this is his domain, as far as his kingdom, as far as the world and the world system. So he's got a lot vested in it. Because if all of that falls apart, that's it for him. So he's going to fight tooth and nail and pull out all the stops to try to keep from losing his kingdom and from losing the souls that are in that kingdom. Now you, brother or sister, you've been sent in here to tear it up. And you know, and you've been given the power to do that. And now when you experience the attacks of the enemy, just know that you have, one, you've got weapons of your warfare that can be brought to bear on those things. You know, there's, so within this, you know, and some of the things that are brought here, I mean, it's awesome that they've used this way and this principle to help you understand, to take on the whole armor of God. So here's the thing, you've been given armor, you've been given something in the realm of the Spirit to put it on, to wear it, to use it, to move in that, that you can withstand the evil day. We are in an evil day. So if you're going to be able to stand in an evil day, and in the evil day that you're in right now, you need to do that. So having done all, and having done all, to stand. Yeah. So you want to, once you've gone through and once you've sliced and decimated the force of the enemy, you want to be able to stand. Not, you know, falling down and crumpled over. But you want to be able to have your shoulders back and your head high. So, so stand, having your loins girt about with truth. You know, I mean, how many people have been clinging to a lie And listen, when you, okay, we talked about this recently on a different show. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You are not going to, you've got to align with him. He is the cornerstone. You've got to align with truth. And that is what he wants it to be and what he says it is and who he is, not what you say it is. So this is where the lordship of Christ comes in. If you're in the kingdom of God, there's a king with a dome. There's a kingdom. There's a king with dominion. So you are coming under the dominion of a king. And what that means is that you're under the lordship, the rule, and the decisions of that king. So if you're coming into the kingdom of God, you don't come into his kingdom and try to usurp his authority. No, then you're going somewhere else. You're breaking yourself off. So what you want to do is you want to align with his authority, surrender unto him, and let him lead and direct and guide. Let him call the shots. That's the place of freedom. That's the place of peace. And that's also one of the reasons why I see so many people that want to try to claim Jesus, but they don't accept his dominion. They don't accept his truth. They don't accept him being the one that leads and guides their life in truth. All right? They'll say it in word, but when it comes down to it, they've got their own agendas. And listen, those are seen. They're known. They're exposed. You know, one awesome prayer that my dad taught me in the early days was, because I'd read that scripture where it says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. You know, there's something in the human heart that will take you another way. And so one of the prayers my dad taught me was, he just said, look, just pray like this. Just say, Father God, if I'm missing it, please just show me, help me to understand, correct me, because I don't want to miss it and I don't want to miss you. Now, he will do that. Him. He will do that. The spirit of truth that leads and guides you into all truth will do that. And that's what you want. That's what I want. That's what I pray. So that if I'm off, if somehow something is, the enemy's snuck something in there, or trying to get something in to take me another direction, take me another way, entice me, try to bring me into his little thing, seduce or oppress or whatever it is, but to try to get that to pull you in another direction, the Spirit of God, if you've yielded yourself to him, he will quicken you, he will show you, and he will also show you a way out and a way through. And that's what you want, because listen, there's a spiritual war that we're in the middle of, and in that process you want the very core of your being to be protected. And you can't if you hold on to a lie, because here's the thing, when you've got a lie that you're grappling onto, what that will do is that just leaves a big gaping open just spot in your armor where the enemy will just decimate you. And how often has that happened? How often have people just been destroyed? Just destroyed because they held on to a lie. I know a bunch of people right now that are in... as some family members used to say, they're cruising for a bruising. You know, they're in for an awful, awful crash, because they've held on to a lie. And it just doesn't end well. It never ends well when you hold on to a lie. Now, on one level, you can be, you could have been tricked or misled. And in that, God also knows and understands. And if you're seeking truth, he's going to continue to lead you, and your eyes will be open, because you're going after the truth. If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you find. If you knock, the door's open. But if the truth has been made known to you and you reject it, and you know it's the truth, but then you reject it because of the packaging, or you reject it because it's inconvenient. So when Jesus came onto the earth, what did he say when he was talking about, he said, listen, John the Baptist, John came neither eating nor drinking. You say he's got a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say that he's a glutton and a wine bibber and the friend of the worst sort of people. But he said, but wisdom is proved right by his children. So what does that statement also entail? Well, one thing is, okay, people say, oh, he's too tall. Oh, he's too short. Well, what? To discredit the truth that's in this person. To discredit that which is there, which they don't want to deal with. So they try to find some fault with the packaging or the messenger in order to never have to deal with that which is going on there, because that truth is inconvenient. That truth is not what they want to hear. It's not what they want to deal with. But it's tough. And that's why also God sends people in all these different ways. That's why he's also got so much variety in his kingdom. That's why he'll have some people that are just polished and speak well, and then somebody else that's just rough around the edges, but they're both saying the same truth. And the Spirit of God is moving through all of them. Because it's not about the externals, it's about that which is within and that which you're aligned with. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So, right standing with God. You know that, listen, this is not some external works thing. This is a place, it's a spiritual position. And when you're in a spiritual position, when you are in right standing with God, because Jesus Christ is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the vine. You see in every one of those places that there is a place of spiritual existence that you can live in. And if you live in that place, there is a right standing with God that will protect, again, you know, the breastplate of righteousness. It's going to protect all these core things of who you are. All the core things that keep you. Listen, the reason that they would wear these breastplates is because, listen, your vital organs are there. I mean, you can take some scratches and some cuts here and there, but if you get punched through in your vital organs, you die very quickly. So when in the realm of the spirit too, when you are in right standing with God, yeah, you may take some you've got some protection over the core of who you are and over the things that so that's also partly why it says the righteous may fall seven times, but they get back up again. Because you may get knocked down, but you've got some protection over the core of who you are, and you are going to have the strength to get back up again, continue to move. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen, while we walk through this world and we walk through this earth, and yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk with our feet shod with the gospel of with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We walk, every step that we take is with the gospel of peace. In a world full of turmoil and war, we walk in the peace of the living God. My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. I don't give you like the world gives. That's what he's done with us. And that's what we move in, and that's how we live and exist for our time on the earth as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because that peace has been given to us, and it's there. It's part of your spiritual makeup, your frequency, your existence. It's all in this amazing place. Now, you can try to wear some other shoes, but you're not going to have the right footwear. You know, you can... I just talked to a friend of mine who just came back from this trip, and I asked, what were some of the tips that she had from that trip? And one of them was, protect your feet. Have the right footwear, because she was walking a lot. So, yeah, if you're going to be walking a lot, make sure you got the right shoes on. If you're going to be walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you better wear the right footwear. So, feet shod with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The enemy does send fiery darts. And the shield of faith, the faith is trust. The faith is the assurance. The faith is the understanding. The faith is that which you know that God is doing. You know the one in whom you have believed, and you are persuaded that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. You know the promises of God. They're in your heart. They're not just words on a page. And you move in those. So that shield of faith, where the enemy says one thing, but you know what God has said. And you know what? Here's something too, brothers and sisters, that's useful to do. Sometimes you just got to take this and you got to write it down for yourself. Once you know a promise of God and something that God has made and assured you in your own heart, write it down. Read it back to yourself. Interact with this thing. This is not something over there. This is who you are. And you need to know who God's called you to be. And you need to have that faith and that assurance so you can move forward in confidence in the reasons and the purpose that God's put you on the earth. And know that the enemy's going to send fiery darts at you. He's going to unlock and unload all of his arsenal towards your way. But you've got the tools that you need to walk through. And take the helmet of salvation. That's going to cover your head. Because one headshot and you're out. But you need this. One headshot and that's it. That's why the enemy aims for your head. But once you have your head protected, you know, you've got protection over that which would otherwise decimate you. Listen, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the way out. No one comes to the Father but by him. He is our salvation. Once you have that, you have what you need, and you have the core, ultimately, you're not going to get knocked out because you've got that protection. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that is our offensive weapon. And you've got to know that, now the reason it's a double-edged sword, it's because ultimately, and the reason that it leads with the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now the Word of God also is what God says. You know, I know that, like, you know, we've been given the words on the page, but ultimately it's the Word that it's what God says and speaks. It's the Rhema of God. It says, because it's, when he's speaking, it's not about it's not about some textual thing. It's about his living, dynamic way that he works on the earth and through his creation and through you. So when he quickens you with that word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, he's speaking through you into a situation and it decimates, it cuts, it destroys the works of the enemy. So you want to move in that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you want to pray. You want to pray. And also, and here in this writing, Paul says, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." That's one of the things that we've done here at Faith Mix, one of the few things since we started that we've ever asked you guys for was, I mean, this is the one thing that we've consistently asked you for, is to pray for us. To keep us in prayer, because we get knocked down and we know that we get attacked by the enemy. So, you know, those prayers that go up and they strengthen us. We feel that, you know, it's none of this stuff is in vain. It's what's necessary to battle through. So we're in a battle. You know, we're in a war. And, you know, I want to encourage you guys to take that part seriously, even as God's encouraging me just to continue to be mindful and to step it up a bit. And also realize, too, there are some things that you can do in the realm of the natural as well as in the spirit that are going to help you. Some things in the natural that are going to help you is, listen, like, for example, if we talk about something like, you know, like fasting as well, I mean, oh gosh, I had to unlearn so many things from my time, you know, as part of just around a lot of religions. And here's a simple part of it. When you fast as such, what that essentially is you are weaning away from certain things that are around you in order to direct your attention and your focus to the things of the Spirit. So it may be certain things we always talk about food. Listen, fasting is not a diet, all right? A diet is something else. Fasting is where you are, when you take that time and you're stopping and you're putting it aside, when you are not engaging in certain things like maybe certain foods or certain types of foods or foods at all at some window, whatever it may be, but when you're doing that, what you're now doing is you are putting that attention, that focus on the things of the Spirit, so you can be more in tune, you can be more sensitive, you can pick up on certain things that you may not have when your body or your appetites were directed in a certain way. So, you know, and that's why too, I mean, like, you know, think about it. For, you know, since I moved here to Texas, since God had me move here, and it's getting close to 3 years, and it's like 2.5 right now. But since I've been based out of this place, I pretty much haven't had a TV here. Just a simple thing. But, and I think that's been a huge blessing because it's just allowed me to have a clearer mind. Now, you know, I'm just saying, listen, do whatever God tells you to do. I'm just sharing a couple things from my own experience because I know that there's a lot of stuff that goes through that is deliberately there to try to program you, to try to get you to think and relate a certain way. And I know that when we have downtime, that we want to, you know, when those pauses come in the day, very often it's like, okay, it's quiet. It's and what's the human reaction? Well, we just want to turn something on. We want to put on some music. We want to turn on something. Turn on a television. Turn on, and you know, just being mindful that those things that you can turn on can also be stuff that the enemy is trying to work through in order to just feed into your brain and into your consciousness. So just be mindful of that, you know. It's just to say that in whatever situation you're in, just to be aware, to be mindful, to let the Spirit of God quicken you so that you can understand what's going on. you know, I've talked a little bit before, but about like concentric circles of people that are in your life. But I'll mention this one again because I know there's a bunch of new listeners here. Okay. Jesus Christ displayed this while he was on the earth, and he showed how, you know, you can make decisions in your life about who's close to you. You can make decisions in your life about who's going to walk with you and who you're going to walk with. But you got to know certain things. You got to know yourself, and you also have to know what the core is of who you are, and you've got to allow that to also be part of your informed decision making. So, I mean, Jesus, you know, was surrounded by masses of humanity everywhere that he went, and all these people wanted to be close to him. But he still, among that group, there was the 70, there was the 72 that he sent out, there was the 12 that he picked, the 12 apostles. Within the 12, he had 3 that were, you know, even closer than the 12. You know, those were the 3 that, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, James, and John, they went a little bit further with him. They were the ones that went up with him on the Mount of Transfiguration that he shared certain things with. So there were even the 3, and even within the 3, he was a little bit closer to John, because Peter at the Last Supper was asking, you know, he said, hey, John, go ask him who's going to betray him? Because he knew that John had just a little bit better relationship, just a little bit closer, that he would express something to him that maybe he wouldn't to the other guys. So you make decisions and choices of who is going to be close to you. So this is where, and it's you being mindful of your time on the earth, and it's not being unkind, and it's not being unfair by any means. In fact, it's much kinder and much nicer to people when you know who you are, that you make the right decisions of how you relate to them while you're on the earth. Because Amos 3:3, how can two walk together, lest they be agreed? How can you walk, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, wearing the feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace, with somebody that doesn't share the journey with you, is not going to go in that direction? Listen, the closest people in my life are the people that are on this same journey, that have this same spiritual framework and understanding. That's how it works. And when you try to bring people in close to you, the closer you want to bring them, the more that they need to align spiritually with who you are and what you're about. And if they get in close and they don't align, it's going to hurt you, and it's going to be a damage to you. And along those lines too, even if you are armored up and ready for the battle and ready for the fight, if you have people that are close that are not, then they are going to become access points the enemy is going to use to try to railroad your life. You know, you can say ouch if you've had that happen. I've had that happen. Absolutely. If they're not aligned spiritually, then what's going to happen is the enemy is going to try to work through them, because the enemy is going to look for the weak spot. But when you are surrounded and you have and your core, the people that are close to your core, are the ones that are on that same track, now there's no access point for the enemy. So, now listen, this doesn't mean that you don't have, the reason we say concentric circles is because as you go out further, then there's different levels and ways that you relate to people, but you relate to them where they're at. And you relate to them with a responsible and a mindful state. So for me, there's people that are friends. You know, there's the core people that are in my life, and those are people that are just solid. I know we're on the same journey, we're on the same track, and it's awesome. But then I go out a ring from that, and it's like, okay, there's people that maybe we disagree on some stuff, but we still respect, you know, that there's still a respect that's there. Okay, cool. But those are people that, you know, will be a little bit further out. Now there's tons of acquaintances, but those people are on the periphery. And they're going to stay on the periphery because there's something more going on here than our comfort, our possessions, our easy life. This is about the Father. This is about the kingdom. You have a king, and he's giving instructions, and you want to listen, and you want to be able to fulfill those instructions while you're on the earth. Because also, your purpose is wrapped up in you fulfilling what he said. Your purpose, your fulfillment is in that. You want to be able to, like Jesus, say, it is finished. You want to finish the reason that you came here. I don't want to come back. I want to finish this. I want to finish the reason that God put me on the earth, and I want to carry on into eternity with the next thing that God has. But this is a experience and a limited window. So let's finish it. And let's finish it well. So that's just even a little bit about interpersonal relationships. You know, other things too, like just simple stuff, like your food, you know, your like just try to, if as much as possible, try to eat clean when you're at home. This doesn't mean, you know, being stringent about it, but just be mindful that your body, because you're in a body, you're in a physical body while you're here, so do what you can to to nourish it, and to nourish it in a way that it's going to be an asset, not a liability. Now, I know there's a lot of you guys that listen that you have certain struggles, and sometimes there's a lot of accumulation of lifestyle that's there too, and sometimes people just have some health issues. I get all of that. That's I get it. It's okay. You know, I'm just saying, do what you can to move in the right direction, and let the Spirit of God quicken you and lead you in that. Small things over a period of time will make a big difference. So little things, just little notches here and there. As you pick something new up, just go with it. And, you know, yeah, just being mindful of your space. The other thing too is the enemy so often is trying to put things into your space to just attack you. And when the enemy tries to come at you, don't let those things sit. Nip them in the bud quickly. You know, don't let the enemy get a foothold in your life. Just, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to figure out what's going on, but as soon as you recognize it, nip it in the bud and move on. Because there's more important things going on than wasting your time with foolishness and frittering it away with a lot of things that the enemy was trying to do with you. No, you need to get to it. Because we're in a war, and it's an incredible, incredible, epic thing that God is doing. So just sharing some of this stuff with you today, because I believe also that God wants us to engage more strongly and more aware and with understanding. So what did he say? My people perish for lack of knowledge. We so often people don't know. And so the prayer is that, Lord God, teach us. Your Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. So teach us. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we can move forward in the fight. So, yes, you want to know. And you want to move. One of my statements I make to people is I say, knowledge without application is worthless. You can know a lot of things, but if you don't apply them, then it doesn't help you. It doesn't do any good. It's much better to know a tenth as much and apply it than to know a bunch of stuff and not apply it or not be able to use it. So you get much, much more out of just a little bit of application. So now that you know, apply and move with that and allow God to lead and guide you. Hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We'll catch up again sometime soon. God bless you. Talk to you later.